Starting in Romans chapter 2. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, here's the main point what he's trying to say. No man is capable of judging another man for one simple fact. Who can tell me what that one simple fact is? No man can pass judgment on another man. No human being can pass judgment on another human being. Why? Because we are all corrupt. We were all born in sin. We're all corrupt. So at whatever point you would point your finger at someone else and say, you're going to hell, you're worthless, and you're no good, they can point their finger right back at you and say the same thing. And that shows an arrogance, doesn't it? That shows a willingness to pass judgment, and therefore, see, here's the root that escapes everybody. All men were created in the image of God. So you're not only passing judgment on somebody as that's corrupt, but you're also passing judgment on yourself, because all men were created in the image of God. You're passing judgment on that image. You see that? You're not just judging another person because they're a lousy so-and-so, but you're judging yourself, because whatever they are, you are too, in spades. Because you both came from the same place. And you're both made in the image of God. So not only are you passing judgment on yourself and that other person, but now you've made a statement about the image of God. That it's unredeemable. That's what judgment says about the image of God. That it's unredeemable. I want you to really think about that. Isn't that true? If you pass judgment and say, this person's a lousy so-and-so, unredeemable, they're going to hell, haven't you passed judgment on yourself, and haven't you passed judgment on the image of God by saying it is unredeemable? Are those three things true? And that's what he's saying here. Listen to it again. You there who have no excuse, you who pass a judgment on someone else, for whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. To judge them is to judge yourself, because mankind is one. Get it? We're all of Adam. So you're not looking for grace or mercy for yourself when you judge someone else. You're condemning yourself because you who pass the judgment do the same things. Why is it the writer here knows, Paul knows you do the same thing, absolutely. Why? Because you're a human being. And as does one human being, so does the other. That is that nature, right? Isn't that true? At whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. See, God can judge. Right? The judgment that we are all lousy and worthless is true. But where do you get off making that judgment? That's the point. The judgment is true. We're all worthless and lousy. Right? We're all born sinners. We're all corrupt. And God's judgment against us is true, because God's not a man. God is the creator of everything. And if God says it's bad, it's bad. God would know, wouldn't he? God would know. But that judgment thing is where you set yourself up to be a God. Get it? So we know that God's judgments against those who do such things is based on truth. Now, so here's a point. Where do we get God's judgments on what's good and bad? We the corrupt, we who are corrupted and in need of a Savior, where do we get God's judgments on what is good and bad? Because we can't trust our own. From His words, amen, from the Scripture, by the Spirit, right? Revelation, what God reveals to us through the Scriptures, by the Spirit. Now, so we have a revelation of what God's judgment is against those things. So I can stand here and say that all adulterers will go to hell. I can stand here and say all murderers will go to hell. I can stand here and say all liars will go to hell. I can say all cowards will go to hell. How can I say that? Because that's what God says. See, those aren't my words. Those are His. That's not my judgment. That's His judgment. But if I was to take another person like myself and pass a judgment, if I were to take... No, I'm talking in general about all people. His child. I'm talking about all people. But as far as now we deal with individuals. As far as an individual, I don't know what's in their heart any more than they know what's in mine. I don't know whether or not they're unredeemable any more than they know if I'm unredeemable. I know no more about what's going on inside of them than me. And because I am not God and I'm not all-seeing, I cannot pass a judgment on them. But this we can do. We can recognize from the Scriptures where the Scripture says this is wrong. And so if we catch a brother or sister doing something that is wrong, we can warn them what the Scriptures say. But we don't say you're going to hell, do we? We don't say you're lost and unredeemable, go away, do we? You see that? You see what we're talking about? So you know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think that you will escape God's judgment? That's a heavy thing. Now that has nothing to do with pointing out what is wrong, does it? It has nothing to do with pointing out what the truth of what the Scripture says. It has to do with you setting yourself up as God to pass judgment on another human being. Now, can you see then there's two different kinds of judgment we're talking about here? Because of God's Word, we have the ability to judge what is good and evil. Right? But we do not have the ability to pass a judgment of condemnation on another person, because we don't know the future and we don't know their hearts and we don't know God's plan. And if you set yourself up to act like as if you know those things, then you set yourself up to be God. See, there's things that we can know. We can know, for example, murder is wrong, abortion is wrong, adultery is wrong. We can know those things, right? And therefore, when we see people doing such things, we can say, that is wrong. We cannot tell them, though, you are going to hell. Because we don't know the future. And we don't know if they'll repent. And we don't know their hearts. And we don't... You see the difference? How many of you see that clear difference in judgment? So we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters to tell them the truth about what they're doing. But we do not have the responsibility to condemn anyone. And this is the kind of judgment being taught. And if you pass into condemnation on someone else, then you are condemning yourself. And what's more, you're condemning the image of God. Now, is that a clarity through this? Can y'all see that clarity? How many of you can see that clarity and the difference in those things? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? See, that's why you can't be a God and make a condemnation, that kind of judgment, because you don't know about God's riches of kindness, tolerance, and patience. And you don't realize that it's God's kindness that leads anybody toward repentance. And you don't know who's going to be led toward repentance, do you? So just because you catch somebody in the act of adultery like those men does that mean you should condemn her? Just because you catch somebody had murdered someone, does that mean you get to say, oh, that person's lost forever, they're going to hell? You don't get to say that, do you? You don't get to condemn. Because you have no idea about the riches of God's mercy, do you? Don't you realize that the same grace you're counting on is the same grace these people need? See the difference? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. Because God will not just agree with you. You understand? He only agrees with His word. And if you are storing, you can be storing up wrath in your unrepentant heart by passing judgment on someone else. Can't you? Storing up wrath for yourself. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. And this is the point. When you do that, you put yourself above another person. I want to stop there and talk about the second part of this. What is man's nature meant to be? Can anyone tell me? What is man's nature meant to be? One who rules over others or a servant? A servant to others or one who rules over others? A servant. Now, let me explain this, and we've talked about this before. All mankind are servants. And they will serve somebody, whether it be good or evil. That's your nature. That's not just a title. That's not a job description. That is your nature. The reason men serve sin or they serve righteousness is because that's what they are. They're servants. And it is a perverted servant who pleases himself. You see that? It is a perverted servant who pleases himself. It is your nature to be a servant. And as a servant, you were created to serve a living God. But if you pass judgment on another, are you serving them or condemning them? Are you trying to rule over them? You are. You're trying to usurp authority over them when they are your fellow servants. We were called to serve. Every one of us. There is no one that was called to be a judge upon another. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person, that's where the individual comes in, according to what he has done. God will judge. To those who by persistence in doing good is serving, seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, those who serve themselves, and reject the truth, and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jews, and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Oh, see, God's judgments are not upon flesh. God's judgment is not about whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. God's judgment is about a nature that goes beyond race. What are you first, a man or a Jew? A man or a Gentile? What are you first? And this is the way we have to see it. What are you first, a man or a Jew? A man or a Gentile? A man. Let me ask you, the first man, was he a Jew or a Gentile? The first man, was he a Jew or a Gentile? He was just a man. See, all that other stuff is a division we created as time went on. You see that? All that other stuff is a distinction between families. It was never meant to be the bad thing it turned into. So, first of all, I don't care if the man is from Africa, or he's a Jew, or if he's a Gentile, or if he's a Syrian, or whatever you want to. The fact is, he's a man, created in the image of God, just like you. That is the first consideration with God. God does not show favoritism. So it's about your nature, whether or not you're a man. What shows whether or not you're of God or not? Your nature is shown through what it does. Your nature is shown for what it does. So God says that nature is expressed through what it does. God will give to each person according to what he has done. See, God judging according to what you have done is judging you according to your nature. To those who were by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking, it's what they're doing, who reject the truth and follow evil, there'll be wrath and anger. There'll be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. Because what you do shows what you are. It shows your nature. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. So whether or not you're accepted by God has nothing to do with whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Has nothing to do with your pedigree. It has to do with whether or not your nature is of God. You see that? Being a man is first before being a race. And God doesn't judge according to races, because he doesn't show favoritism between families of men. Why? Because all men are his children. He may demonstrate something through one family to the rest of us, but all men are his children. And this is what they should have seen in those 12 brothers. Joseph may have been a demonstration to the rest of them, right? But the fact is, they were all equal. They're brothers. Can you see that? It's an important understanding to have. Because when you deal with other people, you're going to have this understanding in your heart. That your love has to be God's love. God's love is for all men because they all belong to him. God doesn't play favorites like man plays. And it's to those who share in his nature that do good, right? They couldn't help themselves. They needed that nature to change, right? They needed that Holy Spirit to do good. So all those who do good are doing it according to that nature that God loves. All those who do evil are walking according to that nature that God has rejected. The nature of self-seeking man versus the nature of Christ. See, your acceptance is about nature, and nature is expressed in what it does. Can you see how many of you can see that? All right, I'm going to stop there because we're going to get into something heavy about Jews and the law and about the idea of people valuing themselves above others because they're a Christian or they're a certain kind of a Christian because they're a Methodist or a Baptist or whatever it is that they want to separate themselves from. And this right here goes to the heart of why division is wrong. You see that? That's where we're going to jump to show why division is wrong. And we have to deal with the root basis. What is it God really looks at? And this is a good place to start on that. I'm going to stop right here, and we'll do part B of this tomorrow.